Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of Curry Beach, it's March 18th, 2019. Welcome to the regular town council meeting. We will have the invocation and pledge of allegiance led by Pastor Chris Howell.
Mayor of Town Council, I appreciate the opportunity to come. Before I pray, I'd like to see if you'd indulge me in about a minute and a half. I want to thank you guys for saving a life. So most of you are looking at me like, what are you talking about? 2 weeks ago, we had two groups here from Penn State Scranton and Penn State York college students on spring break who were working in conjunction with North Carolina Baptist Men Disaster Relief in the Wilmington area. They traveled on a Tuesday up to the Seacoast, Seagate Baptist Church, where they're coordinating the New Hanover County, Ogden, Kelly, that area. When they got there, the house they were supposed to work on, they weren't going to be able to work on. And so they flipped the file open, pulled the file out. The gentleman in charge called the number. When he called the number, the gentleman's house that lived there has been out of his house or it's been incapacitated since the hurricane. He was in the home where he'd been staying unsuccessfully in the floor with a weapon to his head getting ready to pull the trigger, when they told him they were sending a team from Penn State to work on his house. And so when that team arrived, that gentleman was greatly relieved that there was somebody there to work on his home. So the question becomes, how did you save his life? About 4 months ago, we started a process behind the church with a retreat center of how we'd get that rezoned so the churches could use that, groups could come in. Since the 1st of March, we've had an average of 60 students. Last week, we had 80. From New Hampshire, Connecticut, New York, Iowa, Illinois, ODU from Virginia Beach, all over Texas A&M have come into this beach to do hurricane relief north of us. That was one of those groups. You guys had the foresight with Mr. Whitley being over planning and zoning to rezone that building, and you guys approved it in January. We finished that building just in time for those guys to get in there. And because they were here to work on that home, you saved that guy's life. And so I appreciate that deeply. Sometimes you never hear the impact of what you do. And so I want you to know it's greater than beach renourishment. It's greater than parking. It's greater than turtles. Not that I'm against them. It was a person's life. And so I appreciate what you do, and I appreciate your blessing on getting that done. It's going to be a tremendous asset. I invite any of you to come by and look at it. Come down and hang out with some of those college students this month. They're very unique. Because they're from up north, which is most of this island. So many of y'all might be able to communicate with them better than I can. They keep asking me, what is y'all? And where is yonder? So got to pray for us. Father God, we love you. Thank you for the day. Lord, I thank you for this group that sits before me. I thank you for the man of leadership that you placed on their shoulders. And God, I thank you for the diligence in which they carry it out. Lord, I am thankful that they are compassionate, caring, concerning. And more than that, they are looking forward all the time to find out what they can do to make things better for the citizens of this town, for New Hanover County, for the country in which we live in. And God, I pray that as they continue to carry that mantle, Lord, may you bless them, but may they also realize that with that mantle comes great responsibility. God, may they ever not take the hand off the plow until their term is done. God, I pray that you bless this meeting tonight. May it be honoring and glorifying to you. Bless those that have come to speak, that have come to share, that have come to listen. And God, I pray that in all that is said and done tonight, that you'd receive all the honor and the glory, because you and you alone truly are an awesome God. Lord, we love you and say these things in the precious name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Please join us in Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item is approval of the consent agenda. Do I have any changes to the consent agenda?
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions, comments? Questions or comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The consent agenda stands as posted. Second item is adoption of the agenda. Do I have any changes to the regular agenda of the meeting? Any additional points to be added?
Just add a closed session at the end for the purpose of consultation with the attorney as per NCGS 143-318.113.
I have a proposal for a closed session. A motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We will add a closed session to the regular meeting at the close of the regular meeting. Any other?
Make a motion we adopt the agenda as amended.
Second.
Okay. Motion accepted. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The agenda will stand. Discussion and consideration of persons to address council. First up this evening is Mr. Jim Medlock. Mr. Medlock, if you would tell us your name and your purpose and your title, please.
First off, I appreciate y'all giving me the opportunity to come here tonight and talk to you about the Curry Beach Coastal Risk Management Project. And my title is Project Manager, Corps of Engineers in Wilmington District. I think I got all your questions. I'm not quite
yes, sure. No, that's fine. Thank you, Jim. Jim, would you like people to ask questions as they come up, or would you prefer they wait until the end?
I suggest we wait till the end of the presentation, if you don't mind.
Okay.
If we have some please time for questions from the audience as well as from the council, that's fine with me.
So if we would please hold our questions until the presentation is complete. Thank you.
I understand. I'm also the first to make a presentation on your wonderful new display screens. So this is quite an honor. My agenda tonight is to talk quickly about the contract we have underway, talk about the project we're working on in Curry Beach, of the project schedule, and questions. And there's a picture of the E.W. Elson. This is the dredge used by the Weeks Marine Company to actually take material out of a bar area and place it on Curry Beach. A little bit about the project contract. Again, the contract, like I mentioned a minute ago, was awarded to Weeks Marine. The contract value is currently, and we'll see if my little pointer works. And of course, it never works, and I try to do that. The value is about $21 million. That includes both Caroline Beach and Curry Beach, the municipalities of both. The estimated Curry Beach contract cost is about $12 million. The estimated non-federal cost is $3 million, just for the Curry Beach portion of the project. And one of the reasons why the estimated non-federal cost is so low is because after Hurricane Florence, the federal government was able to get additional funds to place more sand for coastal storm risk management on Curry Beach and also Carolina Beach from the storm, which is lower than non-federal requirement for this project. It's one of the resultant actions of doing that. Our cost-sharing sponsors, of course, are the town, New Hanover County, and the state of North Carolina. Now, this is a copy of the project map. Y'all can look on either side and try this one last time. Oh, I see. All right, I officially give up using my pointer. If you look from the, this is a skewed representation of looking at the picture. It's kind of like north is that way. I'm sorry. Engineers like to look at things in a way they can put as much stuff on the screen as they can get in at any angle. Way engineers are. So if we start at the farther northern part, we see Alabama Avenue, which is a municipality boundary between Carolina and Curry Beach. The first area where you see the cross hatching going to the northwest or going to the right is the portion where sand will be placed as part of this project from Alabama Avenue to just right at the pier, the Curry Beach Pier. The next portion where sand is being placed starts at approximately East Avenue and goes as far south as Camp Wyatt. And when I look at the, does that mean I'm out of time already?
No, you're good.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sure
well, here's some other noise.
We can silence our phones, please.
I would say on the southern portion of the project that where sand is being placed is a much wider portion. This is the area where we'll be actually replacing and fixing the dune. The dune suffered substantial damage to that part of the project, and so not only will we be doing work on the dune, but also on the berm, which is the part that most people are familiar with, facing the dune. The thing I would like to say about the dune makes it most important, that is really the town's last protective measure against wave action from a storm going into homes, businesses, and infrastructure. So maintaining that dune is really the high priority here. And the way we maintain that is to put sand in front of it, going out into the ocean, so over a three-year period, that sand slowly erodes away, but the dune stands. And we're thankful that most of the other locations here in Curry Beach, the dune stood well and did a great job. And so here's our opportunity to go in and actually do the repairs on that part of the project where there will be some dune work. There's also a number of pipeline crossings that go across the beach. The areas where those pipeline crossings are, we have to adjust them because the sand is being placed to a higher elevation. That will be done as part of the contract. In those two areas you see on the map, if the pipeline does not have to be adjusted, then we're going to leave the pipeline exactly where it is. Now, this project was originally constructed in 1998. This is our seventh opportunity for cost-sharing periodic nourishment of Curry Beach since 1998. And I guess the only thing else I wanted to mention was we talked about the impact of Florence. There was about 260,000 additional yards of sand that was lost because of Florence, which this project is now putting back on the beach at primarily 100% federal cost with the additional funds we were able to get from emergency access from Hurricane Florence funding. Our schedule. The contractors currently will plan to move their dredge from Caroline Beach Inlet to the offshore bar source, which is always used for Curry Beach. It's called Area B, but I don't have a map that really shows what it is. It's about 3 miles away when you look at this location. And this is a photograph from when this job was last done in 2016. I think those are the ocean dune area on the right-hand side as you look to the south. And this will be the same area that we're placing sand again in this action. Contractor anticipates being ready to start placing sand at the northern end of Curry Beach probably by the last week of March. And they are working hard to get all the work done by the end of April, because by the end of April, that's when the sea turtle nesting season begins. And we have to take special precautions in placing sand during that time of period. So the contractor's goal is to finish up by the end of April. When they actually move the dredge to the offshore bar area, weather's going to impact them. And they've already told us that they're not going to do it until next weekend because of the weather expected for the rest of this week, make it more difficult to get the barge out there in the area. So just imagine being on a boat 3 miles off the shore with a pipeline hanging from that boat by floating buoys all the way to Curry Beach and trying to maintain operations in heavy winds. It's a challenge. And fortunately, Weeks Marine as a company has done it before, and they've done a good job doing that. The Corps of Engineers has put together on our internet website a placement tracking tool. So if you're interested in finding out the status of a projected placement in Curry Beach, you can go to that link at the bottom of the screen. And when you open up the Corps of Engineers webpage on the right-hand side, you'll see the place where you can click, and it'll pull up this graphic. And as you zoom into the graphic, you can click on one of those areas. What the green means is work that's already been done. Yellow means work that's underway. Actually, when I did this slide, we were still working in Northern Carolina Beach, but that work's now been done. Basically, all the sand's been placed down to South Carolina Avenue in Carolina Beach. And the areas in pink are areas to come. And right now, what's shown there is the proposed area from basically Alabama Avenue all the way down to the pier, because you can barely see the pier on that picture. So again, this is a good way that you can keep track of where things are going. We try to update this every day based on the progress made by the contractor. And of course, everything's affected by weather and other things that are sometimes beyond our control. But we have this out there just to kind of give folks an idea where we're gonna be next. So if you want to know, when does the Corps of Engineers think they'll be outside my window from the ocean dunes? Then this would be a way of kind of getting an idea on that. One thing I'd like to mention before I close is that the contractor is going to be operating on a 24-hour schedule. They're doing their best to get all work done so they can be out of here by the end of April. There will be noise and lights at night. Those dozers, as they back up, moving the sand on the beach once it's been delivered by the pipeline, is kind of noisy, but it's there for reasons, for safety. And the other things I would caution the public, everybody, aware of, if you see orange fencing on the beach and activity happening behind that, in front of that orange fencing, please don't cross into that area. That's there for our safety. Any places where the contract's completed work, they'll move the orange fencing to the south, and that opens up that part of the beach to anyone who wants to go and use it. But please, I don't want to hear any Curry Beach resident walking into that area where that fence is, and then we have to find out what happened once they did that. You can see plenty by standing behind the orange fencing and see the sand being delivered to the beach from 50, 60 feet away. It looks just as fascinating as if it were, maybe not quite as fascinating as being 10 feet away from the pipeline, but it's certainly much safer being 50 feet away. Other than that, again, my name is Jim Medlock, project manager. There's my phone number and email address, and I'd be happy to take questions at this time. If you'd like to serve with the council, Mayor Blazinski, or some members of the public? Because I can't see anything behind me.
All right, do we have any questions from the public?
I have one. When you started out near Freeman Park,
yes,
there was a tremendous amount of debris that washed up on the beach. But the farther south you came, it seemed the clearer the sand became. What was the reason behind that?
Well, I heard reports that they were finding sunglasses and sun hats on portions of the beach, and the public was kind enough to walk out there, and by the time we got to look at some of those areas, they'd already picked up the stuff and thrown it away. What happens was, just imagine what happened back in September. An amazing hurricane that caused significant wave action, stirring everything up and pushing whatever that might have been on the beach to that end. So that was going to be, that was probably what was on the top of the area at the end of the research region. So once that was cleared, then what you have below there is pretty much under research. So I can see, sir, how as the progress went on, it would get better as you go because of that. Using the offshore bar side here in Curry Beach, that's not going to be an issue because these other things that are winding up the inlet is not going to be happening here with the Curry Beach project. Okay,
I'll
answer your question. Other questions? Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Two questions. One has to do with the dune replacement.
Yes, sir.
And can you briefly describe how that's done? Are you going to push up sand in front of those escarpments and building up the new dune there? Is that how it,
yes,
you got to kind of...
The way the project works is there's a long pipeline coming all the way from the far side, which delivers sand from the offshore bar onto the beach. The next step is there's a series of dozers that work out there to push the sand up to the authorized elevation of where it needs to be. And then they'll push up additional sand to rebuild the dune.
Okay.
And that'll be to the authorized elevation. There are some places along Curry Beach where the existing dune is up here and our authorized elevation is down here. So even though there may be damage to the dune at that place, it still withstood the inch of what happened when the Hurricane Florence came through. But that just means the project's operating like it should. And so we're not going to cut off the top of this to get down to the authorized elevation. We're going to leave that as it is. So the places where it goes the other direction is where we actually will put sand. And that'll be just basically a bulldozer operating kind of process. When they're done, then they'll do plantings on the berm to try to help start reestablishing the sand.
So that was going to be my next question.
Yes.
So they're going to do plantings, COs on it.
I believe the COs, yes. And it'll be a good start. But you know, that's one of those things that sometimes we need help from our local towns to help make sure things keep growing and need some care and payment. And in the past, the towns have been just great on trying to do it. Because really, I think we all realize that if the sooner you can get something growing on top of that dune, the sooner you can keep the dune from being damaged again by the next storm.
Okay. And in these, the areas that are being rebuilt on, the dunes are being rebuilt Is that indicated on your maps? Can we see where that is?
Yeah, can we go back to the map just a minute? Let's see what I can. Oh, I like y'all's remote control. And I wish my, I'm going to walk over here if you don't mind. I just kind of point because I haven't
pointed out. Yeah.
I brought this really high tech pointer and it doesn't work. It only costs $10. I wonder why it didn't work. It's really hard to tell, but anywhere you see this little crosshatch pattern, that's where sand is going to be placed, whether it's above the water or in the water. And you might ask, well, why do you put sand in the water? Well, you want to build it out into the water because when you have waves crashing, this is the first thing to erode, so you're buying time until the next periodic nourishment happens in 3 years. The dune of the work that's being done is really hard to tell on, and where it sees that area getting really dark across the top, that's working with it. So it's not the entire length from here to here. And as I recall, I think it's about 5,000-6,000 feet is what I'm trying to remember. It's a little over a mile. But there's only dune work being proposed, I think, a third to half of that. And that's because either the other areas, the dune is higher than the authorized elevation, and the project can do what it's designed to do. Down here, the other portion of the project, this is all work in the berm, the area in front of the dune. And you've got to have that, again, maybe beating this too hard, but if you don't have to stand out there to intentionally be lost to protect the dune, then you're in trouble. And that's basically replacing sand there where you normally might think of being where someone might recreate or the beach park. They're still putting sand out front to buy that additional time needed so we can protect that dune for the next 3 years until the next time we come out here. This project is done in 3 years.
So, where you were just pointing, the southern end, which is that down from Davis Road, is that the Regans? Is that the,
yes.
Just give me a landmark.
Okay, this is right, this is at the end, the most southern end of the project,
okay.
And that's near the tennis courts at Ocean Dunes.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of that street crossing. This, I believe, is E Street?
E Avenue, yes, sir.
Yeah. E Avenue,
yes, sir.
So E Avenue. So you're between E Avenue and the tennis courts. The proposal was sand. Now, further to the south, this is not an authorized part of the federal project. And it's mainly because of the Coquina Rock, which is in the water, which is an environmental resource. So we're not allowed to place sand on that. So the Riggins Complex is outside the authorized project. It is also a massive Coquina Rock area in front of it. That's why it's not in this project, this part of the off-road project.
Thank you.
I'm looking. Oh, okay.
We've done a letter about seismic surveying.
Yes.
Is this part of your project?
Yes. Was it signed by Weeks Marine? The representative of Weeks Marine?
Sincerely, seismic surveys incorporated.
Let me see that. See, what Rick Torian does, they hire companies to do this. And yes, this is legit.
My question is, why? It's okay to do it, but there's
someone that. And no, they're just looking at the outside of the property, not going inside someone's house.
I don't know.
But the reason they do this is because when the contractors out there working with all those codes, there's a possibility that a client or a customer or a resident could come and say, hey, you caused this crack in the side of my house because your dozers got too close. This is kind of like doing a like taking a photograph of your property before. It's more than just a photograph. I think what they do is they actually put sensors around your property and they monitor that as they work. So they want to be as safe as they possibly can, but they don't want to damage anyone's property because that costs some money and time. So that's what this really is. This is a legit thing. I've had other people ask me about it. I wish it said on there Weeks Marine because these guys were hired by Weeks Marine.
Okay. All right.
Anyone else want to test Jim?
I don't know. I'd like someone to fix my $1 infrared pointer.
Any questions from council?
So is there anything that you didn't say that you think the project needs from the town support?
Sir, I think the thing I would talk about is once we fix the areas where the dune needs to be replaced, repaired, and we plant the sea oats on there, please do whatever you can over the next 3 years to help establish that area so that it can encourage the growth of the sea oats over time. Because as soon as we can get the dune covered in sea oats, the better off we'll all be.
Yeah, and we do that. I was wondering more
y'all
about...
Y'all have a great program to do that, by the way.
We do, and I was wondering more about Public Works with the police department. So when you have your pre-meetings, do you make contact with them so that if something comes up, they know who to call? With your project team?
Our construction folks here have weekly meetings. I think they've been meeting with some of the folks here from the town administrative side.
Yep.
I don't know if they've met with any of the council members yet. But gotcha. The key thing is, if there's something y'all see that's unusual, please don't walk up to the contractor and direct them to do something.
No.
Call me, and I will get the construction manager to call you. Again, the thing that we're most concerned with is someone crosses that fencing, that orange fencing, and puts himself in danger. We don't want that to happen. So what we try to do is the contractor's out there constantly looking at things, trying to make sure nothing happens. And so far, fortunately, I don't believe we've had an accident that was caused by someone who actually went somewhere where they weren't supposed to go. But I don't think, sir, there's anything that I can think of that we've asked your police department to help with. But obviously, if they get a call from someone who's in distress, I would hope they'd go take care of it.
I think John has been attending some of the meetings as they're transitioning into Curie Beach, and also they're going to start having their weekly meetings here on Wednesday mornings. So,
good.
The contract meetings.
Good.
Sounds good. Anything else, County Council?
There's one more.
One more.
Are you going to just rely on sea oats, or are you going to put any sand fencing to help protect the dunes?
I believe the contract right now just calls for putting CO, so I don't believe it calls sand fencing, but I would encourage the town to do that after the contractor is done and plans the CO. Again, your town knows what needs to be done to take care of that. They're much smarter than me. So that's really your project just as much as it is ours. We cost share. We've been doing this project since 1998, so please do what you think is needed to help that dune in great operating condition.
What is the plan for the town?
So the town in our annual budget puts in CO plan. We have sand fencing along the strand area so people won't cut over. And then we have signage all up and down. Our lifeguards are directed to tell people to stay off the dunes, and our police department patrols during the summer and tells people to stay off the dunes. If you see someone on the dunes and you call, someone will show up.
Is it just one layer of sand fencing, David, or is there a couple?
I think, Jimmy, right, it's just one layer on, we don't...
Yeah, it's not on the ocean side.
Right, it's all up on the berm side, just downtown area.
Now, we do that on the town area. We do not do that along the private property.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so if you're looking for like long sea watch properties or other properties,
ocean dunes, that's really
right, or ocean dunes, right. So
is that something the...
Well, they have HOAs, they can take an action, but they will have to do it through...
CAMA,
through
John
Batson.
Through
CAMA, and John Batson would help them get that done. I also want to acknowledge Leighton Bledsoe here tonight, our county sandman who helps us with getting our money. He helps us with our sand profiles, and he helps us with our permits and our CAMA representation. Thanks for coming this evening.
Don't you want to speak, Leighton?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much, Jim. Appreciate
you
coming
tonight.
Thank you
very much. And again, if you have any additional questions, I'll be glad to go outside the doors and answer any other questions you might have. No questions, and I'm heading home to have dinner.
Yes, sir, I understand.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
We also had Lynn Halterman from the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce, but she could not make it this evening. Therefore, we will move to... McGill Antor? Did I say that correctly?
Oh, yeah, I spoke earlier.
Oh, you spoke earlier, okay.
You need me to sign? Well, actually, I did have a quick question.
Sure.
We've noticed, and I was just met this lovely lady behind me who has more information about it, Helen. There is a huge concrete out in Curie Beach that's just exposed this season.
The dowel structure?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And I just think that is such a hazard. It's great for, like, us who live here, we know that it's there, but visitors coming into town would have no idea that that's sitting there.
That structure is left over from 1947.
Yeah.
It's Dow Ethyl Chemical Company, which no longer exists. It's on state property. If we were to do anything with that structure to destroy it,
yeah,
we own it. And you're looking at removal that has been estimated anywhere from $1 to $4 million. We have reached out to Senator Tillis's office, who gave us the most, on March 8th, responded to our email, various ways. They basically put it back in our lap. These are ways you can get this removed. We've spoken to Harper Peterson, Ted Davis, County Commissioners, and David Rouser's office. It would be very expensive. It would probably take 3 months. It would destroy the dune system along there. It would have to be rebuilt. Dow Chemical Company, of course, wants nothing to do with it.
But
you
know, it's
you,
there,
you
it's
call
their
them,
problem.
They're like, what, what, what? And nothing. So our hands are tied. It would be, for us to take it on, for the town, it would be a very expensive project. We don't know how large it is. We don't know how far it goes down, how far it goes out in the ocean.
So two questions. One, Dow, so they're not taking ownership whatsoever.
Not at all.
No.
Even though it's their property, and we can prove it's their property.
The war was over. We won.
Nothing
they
we
destroyed
did.
It, and they walked away.
Okay.
Gave it to the, actually gave it to the state. That's state land. Wow. Mm-hmm.
So $1.4 million? Is what we're looking at to remove it, possibly?
No, $1 to $4 million.
$1 to $4 million.
And we won't know until they get out there and we find out really what we're up against. There's concrete buried potentially 40 feet down.
Yeah.
It's covered up now. We rode the beach Saturday morning. It's covered up now because I speak to Mr. Harrison that owns the house directly in front of it.
Yeah.
Who really has no trouble with it because he said he doesn't get a lot of people down there on the beach in front of his home. So he has a very quiet section of beach. We're putting new signs up. We're putting sandwich board signs up right there. It's going to be at the water line. The lifeguards are going to move them back, up and back, because the signs along the dune line, if you're out swimming and get pulled down, you know, swimming, you may not be able to read those out in the ocean. So there's going to be sandwich board signs on each side of it that the lifeguards will move this year. So we're going to have more awareness. There's a lifeguard stand there all summer long, directly in front of it, to advise people to stay away from it.
Yeah, there's got to be something more we can do. My daughter was a lifeguard. She was actually on that post. But lifeguards aren't out there 24/7.
No.
And it is, that's a beast. That's sitting right there on the shoreline. Mm-hmm. And I'm just already envisioning, you know, this 12-year-old boy coming in on a surf and just pounding right into it. I've not seen it. In the 8 years I've lived here, I've never seen it.
Oh, it's
it was very.
I didn't even know it was there.
Some people like to post about it on Facebook. I'm not pointing at Mr. Wickler, but you know, it was definitely exposed this winter for 5 to 6 weeks, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Because I got several emails about it.
A couple years ago, there was a buoy in the water.
It lasted what, 3 weeks?
Before? No, yeah. Not 3 weeks.
Not even 3 weeks.
Closer to about 10 days.
It got tore up.
It's hanging from someone's porch there in Sea Watch.
Yeah, there is one left that is in the backyard.
Yeah.
I think the signs on the dune are great. I think the lifeguard's great, but what about red flags? Something a little closer to where it's located. That's
what he's talking about. The sandwich boards, tent, kind of like tent sandwich boards. They will say danger. Swimming at your own risk, and they will be at the water line, so you will see it.
They will also have a red flag coming out of the top of it.
Awesome.
Ed has ordered it, and I think they're already in.
That's great. So that's something that's going to be posted 24/7.
Well, no. When the lifeguards go out in the morning, they'll be there.
Okay.
And they'll take them down when they leave the beach at night, because they'll get damaged, they'll get stolen.
With the tide, they'll just take them right out, just like they did the the other buoys that we put there. So we continue to look at ways to protect the folks. And we've been to Senator Burr's office as well. Senator Tillis's office has been the most responsive. But even they are coming up against Stonewall with Dow.
And they're the ones that reached out to Dow. And
yeah.
Dow
so
just wouldn't take
the we went to them. The government reached out to Dow, and Dow said, And there doesn't seem to be a way to force them to do it right now. So at least at this point in time, we're going to do all we can to keep people notified about the danger.
Mm-hmm. Maybe move forward instead of, you know, saying, okay, it could be 1 to 4, maybe find out how much it is. I mean, if it's $1 million and it saves a life, instead of just wondering how much it may cost.
Well, they did diving with it 3 years ago, 5 years ago, David.
Yeah.
And they couldn't determine how large it is buried under there.
Oh, so you're saying there's absolutely no way to forecast what it's going to cost until you start working on it.
Until we sign on the dotted line, like, okay, we'll pay you $1.5 million to take this out, and all of a sudden they go,
they know what it will cost. They know what it will cost to build a bladder around it like you would with a ship to keep the water away. But once you get that bladder built around it, how much concrete, iron, rebar is there, and what it would take to get it out, that's the part that's unknown.
Okay,
you bet.
The only thing I can say about it is when I was a kid, we used to play on it.
That's what I was going to say, too.
And all of a sudden, the Florence is back.
Right.
And we said,
and it's going to be gone at the end of April when Beach Road Nurse is done.
Yeah. Apparently, people are going to do yoga on it.
It was a great, you know, let's go down to the Iron Pier, or let's go down to the Walk, or whatever.
Exactly right.
All the family pictures are taken down there.
So it's kind of like wild animals, right? You can tell people they're there and try to protect them, but ultimately there's a responsibility with them as well. Okay, moving on. Discussion and consideration of committee business. Board of Adjustment. Community Center Committee. None? Marketing Committee, no representative tonight. Planning and Zoning Commission, not this evening.
We have to interview.
Yeah.
Yes. David. I apologize. David's here. We're going to interview. We need to interview David.
Mr. Carson, sorry, David.
Sorry. I actually thought we were doing that over in New Business, but okay.
I can approach now, and you can interview me now. Good evening.
Good evening. So I understand that our Planning and Zoning Commission went through 5 delegates.
Yes, sir.
And you're the delegate that they have recommended as the alternate in case we lose one of the sitting delegates.
Yes.
Does anybody from the council have any questions for David? I know we all have his resume. Hopefully you've had a chance to read it.
I have no questions. I've worked with Mr. Garceau for the past couple of years on the SLAP committee. He was instrumental in putting together our trifolds that went out with the water bills.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever get paid for those?
Yes. I have no questions.
No questions?
I'm looking forward to the opportunity, and
David?
I hope you recommend me.
So you've been in town 4 years now, right?
Almost 4 years.
4 years.
3.5 years now.
Wow. And so P&Z is planning and zoning. What do you think? I know you've been attending meetings, which I appreciate. Anyone that wants to be on the board attends meetings before they actually want to be on the board. I think that's a great thing. So I appreciate that. What do you think in your mind is the biggest issues coming up in P&Z in the next year or two as the alternative?
I think like a lot of things with the town and where we are, and first and foremost, this is my home and where I plan on being home for the rest of my days, so I hope to have a lot of long and happy years here. But the issues going forward are multifold, really, and a lot of it stems from what everyone around the town is doing. the growth outside of the town, how that changes things, how it directs things, what we do to maintain the character and value of the town, how we protect the resources we have in all aspects of it, from, you know, roads to services to everything else. It all kind of ties together. So kind of being engaged and being active and looking at this is where I'm going to live for a long, long time, and being a part of the process is kind of what brings me to do it. Being a part of the Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee has been awesome. Really enjoyed that group. I kind of hate to leave that group, but I think this is a next level opportunity, and one that can really have a mark over the next few years as to what the town does going forward.
Do you know the people on planning and zoning?
I've known Bill because he was with the mm-hmm. Shoreline Access as well, and I've met the others on the board by attending meetings and talking to them.
Okay.
And, you know, I think there's, like okay. I say, good opportunity.
Do you have the courage to vote your convictions, even if it's opposed to the other four sitting on the board?
Absolutely. I almost hate to bring it up, but I brought it up in a planning and zoning committee about how the town council changed the regulations on building the fire station and encroached on the right-of-ways. Voiced my opinion on that, not against the fire station, but against how the rules were written in the town. And I'm not afraid to stand up and say the right thing at the right time.
Okay. Any other thing of any other questions?
I make a motion we appoint David Garceau as the P&Z alternate position.
Second.
Okay. Any other comments? Any other comments from you, David?
Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Congratulations, David. Thank you for serving your town.
Thank you very much.
Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee. Anything? Dennis, Chairman?
Just two things. David, I want to thank David for his time on the Shoreline Access and Beach Protection Committee. As Joseph mentioned, he was instrumental in designing the new trifold brochure that we have about safety and regulations. So I thank you, David, for all your effort in doing that. And I'd also like to thank everyone who came out this Saturday for our little flash beach sweep. It was kind of a last-minute thing. We had surprisingly pretty good turnout given the, you know, not so cooperative weather, a little chilly and overcast, not your perfect beach day. But I appreciate everyone who came out, picked up trash, got us ready for the beach nourishment program. And so we're not going to be burying a bunch of trash that will show up again, you know, over the next year or two. So, again, thank everyone. Specifically, I'd like to thank Craig, our mayor was out there, and Alan, and Joseph, and everybody else who came out to pick up trash. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you for the work of that group. It's very important to everybody in this town. Non-town committee reports. I'm going to talk later about the naming committee, so that is already on the other items. Discussion and consideration of department head business. Administration, Nancy.
No items.
Building department, John.
No items, sir.
All right. Finance, Arlen.
Nothing from finance.
Okay. Fire department, Ed. Oh, Ed's busy this evening.
Great.
That's right. He's getting ready for the Monday meeting. Chief Bowden, police department.
No, sir.
Nothing. Public works department, Jim.
I just want to give you guys an update on the meter project. I talked to the engineer today. By the end of the month, the first of next month, we will be advertising it. We're just getting all the specifications together now, and he said it should be done hopefully by the end of the month. So it'll go out for advertisement, and then after 30 days, so we'll be accepting the bid.
Okay. Recreation,
no,
Nikki, no?
Jimmy, I wanted to say thanks for the work on the bumpers on I&E. They look great.
Hey, you got them out there quick. Thank you, Jimmy. Anybody have any questions for our department heads? Okay, moving on. Discussion and consideration of old business. Town facility construction project status update. Mr. Oliver, could you please tell us how we're doing?
We're here. Thank goodness we're here. Working through a few kinks in the system, finishing up some odds and ends and some punch list items. But as you can tell, we're here and we're in the building. Staff have done a great job moving in last week, and we're trying to get offices organized, and so we're about 99% finished. Went through some training on the generator today and other things to get everybody up to speed. So staff have done a great job. A contractor will be on site for probably another 2 to 3 weeks to wrap everything up, and we're waiting on Duke Power to put up the parking lot lights, area lights that have some back order. They're decorative lights, and we have some back orders on that, but all the underground wiring is installed and ready for installation. So we're all good.
Nancy, thank you and your staff for a tremendous amount of planning and work to make it happen so rapidly. And Alan, thank you for the last week of headaches, trying to make sure everything was ready for this evening. So thank you for dealing with it, and the same with the department heads who moved in here all week and moved their staffs and their records. Nice job. Land use plan review, follow up from retreat.
Yep. So at our retreat, we talked about should we engage and renew our land use plan, which was adopted in September of 2006. And the commitment of the council was they would review the 188-page plan and decide where they were on that. So I think I was the sticking point at the meeting saying, before we decide we should redo a new one, we should decide there's problems with the one we have. So that's where we are. Mm-hmm. And so I trust everyone read their 188 pages. And so the question is, does council want to do that or not? Do they see significant issues? And if so, do we need to ask Arlen to put that in the budget or not? That's the question.
Well, I'll start. I did not see anything that was really contrary to the direction we're taking, questioning the plans for the future, looking at opportunities in the downtown, looking at opportunities for Matsu. I don't really see a need for a major expenditure at this time. But my opinion, speak, gentlemen.
Well, I think there's some areas that could be updated, just from the facts and figures parts of it. But the I agree with you, we're going in the right direction. I mean, we're still following the plan, so I do think it could use a little bit of a tweaking, maybe, but that's not a major overhaul with the plan.
Okay. I agree. It could definitely use some tweaking. I think with the land use plan that Matsu has going on, which is coming to an end in a month and a half, and then our overlay that we're getting ready to start with P&Z, I think that will take care of most things I would be concerned about.
Okay. Anything, John?
Well, I don't think it, I agree with you, Mayor, that it doesn't need to be rewritten. I'm not sure what would be involved in tweaking, assign that to one of us, and you make some recommendations, or you give it to an organization that you are going to have a bill.
Right.
It may not be, but it will, I think it will be a big bill, because a company doesn't want to tweak, they want to rewrite.
Yeah. So I would recognize, Sean, you did a tremendous amount of work associated with the review of this when we did the, we were doing town planning under Emily at the time. And there were ideas, maybe with a little more detail on some things that were normally in the plan, which are always good ideas for us to revisit and take a look at. So thanks for that effort. So what is the consensus of the council? I believe I heard people say no need to at least spend major funds at this point in time. Is that the consensus?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And so I guess the question is there any more action? I'm fine with no more action, right? So from my standpoint, just as I brought up at the the retreat, this document is what P&Z and the building inspector compare requests to along with our ordinances before they recommend them or not. In fact, every recommendation from P&Z has a signature at the bottom that says this is in accordance with the land use plan. And I encourage the citizens to read it. It's a long read. It's kind of interesting to see how close it is to how we turned out, actually. But I think from my standpoint as a commissioner, I feel comfortable that if the P&Z recommendations are based on this, we're still taking the town exactly where we want to go. And that's what it's for, right? The real purpose of this is to give P&Z, building inspector, and council guidance on what we're supposed to do as we're making decisions. And so if they're based on this, at least from my perspective, it says where I think the citizens want the town to go. That's why I'm comfortable not doing a big rewrite, because in the document it says the type of things that citizens at least tell me, and I assume tell you guys, this is how we want the town to be, right? Mm-hmm. And when P&Z is working through the overlay, they have to look at this and they have to make sure it matches up with that. And when we're considering pulls in the beach renourishment easement or any other type activities, even this building, they have to fall in line with that, right? And they perfectly do. Or at least we try to make them. So that's what it's for. I think it's meeting its job, and that's why I'm comfortable. So I'm definitely willing to drop it. So.
Okay.
Mayor, there are several pages in the 2006 plan that reference or talk about goals for the town.
Yes.
And we've met many of those goals.
Yes.
Some of them are still valid. The ones we've met, I don't mean to say are invalid, but we have met those, so if you would tweak, maybe you would establish them. Since I've been on council, our retreat last year, you helped us establish new goals for 1920, and those goals comply with the things in the 2006. We didn't overturn part of the land use plan establishing some new goals. So I'm very comfortable with where we're at.
All right. Okay. So we'll lay that to rest probably until we have a chance to read what comes out of Matsu.
That's what I was going to say. Let's wait and see what happens with Matsu, the overlay, everything, and then if needed, we can address it probably right around election time, November.
Okay. Naming committee to bring recommendations regarding the beach booster program. Two things came out of the naming committee meeting. Number one was that we agreed unanimously on the top of the new beach sign that you brought forward, Dennis, saying when you're leaving the beach, thank you for coming, keep it clean, do your share. So we actually agreed that that top part of that sign was a useful item to do. We also had a unanimous agreement, at least in council, I'm sorry, at least in the naming meeting, that we could use some type of program for promotion as the bottom half of the sign leaving the beach. Now, but there is still work to be done. And that work requires, one, that fees associated with any type of advertising that may be on that particular sign, if council agrees to it, would have to be in line with the disc golf costs, because we now have people who have purchased and advertised on each hole of the disc golf course, and therefore we'd want to be consistent with that and what those costs are associated with. Secondly, the management of that program and the associated costs and the collections and the regular letters of rebilling would come from the Parks and Recreation Department. Nikki has agreed to take that particular item on. But the biggest question we still have is we need to develop the rules. You don't want to, do you want to advertise for bars? Do you want to advertise for restaurants? Do you want to advertise for committees? What would you really want to see as advertisement on the back of these particular signs if council approves doing this activity? And I would say that until we see those rules, we should probably put this aside, because we really can't determine at this point in time whether we want that particular program. I do believe the top of those signs is tremendous. And Dennis, it escapes me exactly what they say. Could you refresh us? Do you remember?
Thank you for keeping our beaches clean and safe.
Okay. Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, this was on the back of the beach signs where we have the dogs and all the information about the beach. On the other side, which is blank, we would be looking at putting that type of information. So when people leave the beach, it's a thanks, and please make sure you cleaned up. I think that has value. Under that, in a smaller area, is the possibility that we are discussing potentially allowing people to advertise in that area. Maybe in memoriam. Yes?
Well, I think about 12 years ago, the Beautification Committee unanimously decided that we had sign pollution, visual pollution, because there are too many signs all over the place. And certainly, I don't understand why we would be advertising for anybody, just to make money.
It would be revenue for the town. It can be revenue for the town, yes, if that's something that the town wants to do. But you certainly have a voice in that, as well as everybody else here does.
My voice would say, don't advertise. I mean, it's nature. The whole point of coming here is...
How do you feel about the thanks for coming to the beach, keep it clean?
That's fine. But you're talking about ads for, like, Bud and Joe's and that.
Well, that's certainly why we would need to develop rules, right, as to what can we put there, whether it be, like I was saying, whether it be in memoriam or something else. This isn't really a public meeting on that particular point, but if somebody wants to discuss or bring something up briefly, be my guest. Yes?
I was just going to add to that. These signs are going to be there anyhow.
Right.
If there's no advertisements on the back of the sign, the front of the sign, the sign itself will still be there.
Yes.
So there's not going to be an additional posting of a sign anywhere else. It's going to be the same sign.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, I don't see any problem. You make more money at no additional cost for adding another sign. It's going to be there already.
Okay.
In my opinion.
It's fact.
Dennis.
Mayor, just we recognize the issue with sign pollution. And I don't know if you've noticed the new signs that have been put up at the major access points. So last year we put up 12 new signs. We've consolidated all of that information into what I think is a fairly nice, attractive single sign. And the back is what we're talking about, the back of those signs, not additional signs going up.
Correct. I understand.
Okay, so I'm moving on, but I would tell you this. This is your town. It is our town. If you have an opinion, send it to us, please. Rick?
I think if you start putting too much on there, you lose the message.
Mm-hmm.
The message is clean up, thanks for coming. You know, not go to Bud and Joe's, go to Jack Mack's.
Well,
yeah, wherever.
We really have to bring out the size of the signs, which are not significantly large, by the way. We'd have to show the whole program. We're not ready to do that. But if you have an opinion, please send us a note. Okay? All right. The other item that the naming committee looked at was the benches. We looked at being consistent on the type of bench that we would pick for the town, whether it be along the road, whether it be in an open area, whether it be down at the boardwalk. And we picked a beautiful bench, and it was a reasonable price, but it's 1,700 pounds. So we're going to go back and figure something else out. It does have to be, it does have to require no maintenance, and it does have to be something that you can't pick up and walk away with. And it does have to be something, you have to have an area that, if people want to memorialize the particular bench, that we can do that. So, team, I said we'd be back. We thought we were ready until we found out that it cost $700 to ship one and 1,784 pounds to place it. And, Jimmy, I don't think you wanted to do that.
No.
Okay. No. All right. So that'll take care of the naming committee report tonight.
Mayor, as part of the booster program, does that include what we've talked about with the ambassador?
Booster program?
No. Okay. Talking about the ambassador program?
Oh, yeah, right.
They're distinct.
Right. No, the ambassador program is actually part of our separate. Beach program. It's separate.
Review of public parking spaces at public beach access near Stormy Petrel. David, I know you've been out of town. I don't know if you had
no,
a chance.
I'm good. Yeah, yeah.
Are you good?
Can you bring up the picture? Sorry, I don't know which way to look. Sorry, there you go. This isn't, I would have used Google Earth, but this is a good picture as well. As we were talking about parking, my issue to the council is we're doing beach renourishment. We're trying to get the federal, state, and county governments to support our beach renourishment. We have a public beach access, so for those of you that can see, right across the street from Fort Fisher to the left, you see Pelican Court. That's a public beach access. And as we looked at parking, one of the things we're doing this year is all the parking on the east side of 421, except within 50 feet of those beach accesses, is going to be eliminated this summer, which can be a problem for the people. And at that specific beach access, which you can see a car parked there right now, there was concerns about some piping from Ocean Dunes and not being able to have parking there. My concern was, since it's a public beach access, we need to have at least one or two parking spots by it, right? And I went down there and looked. I think we can meet the 50-foot requirement. We may have to put bumpers around that piping, but I think we can have two parking spots down there that the police chief and the public works director might be okay with. So I'd like council's permission for us to look at that area and at least get wedged some in with the intent of being within 50 feet as you guys, as we pass, right? And I just think as we move forward, wherever we have public beach accesses, whenever the town is considering parking regulations, we want to keep at least a couple of public spaces there, in my opinion, because that helps us when we're having a county commissioner that says we're not doing anything. When we have those conversations about making sure that we get support for our beach renourishment. We're the only beach that doesn't do paid parking right now. There are a number of leaders in the county that think that means we're not paying our fair share, which if they look at the math, they would understand why that doesn't make any sense. But we need to make sure we have counter arguments whenever that comes up. And I think from a council's perspective, if we can point out that we have multiple public beach accesses and we have public parking at those areas for anyone in the county to use, county commissioner, please help support our beaches. I think that will help us.
So you're talking about parallel parking there?
I think it would be. I think really it's to look at it closer with the police chief to make sure he's comfortable, and then with the public works director to make sure we're safe around the piping.
Okay.
Because we don't want someone driving into it and then having a geyser of water that Jimmy has to respond to. But I think we can get a couple of parking spaces down there.
Okay, can.
So I just like council permission to stay within the guidelines of parking that we set, within 50 feet, and then we'll work to see if we can identify a couple down there. We still haven't decided how we're blocking off all the rest of that for the season yet.
Right.
So I think council needs to give Jimmy some guidance on what we're going to do down there. And I don't see Ocean Dunes here, but if we don't block that off or put some type of signage, Mike's going to have problems writing tickets, and citizens are going to be upset because they're used to parking all along that strip right now.
Any input on that, Mike? No parking between signs, or?
Yeah, I think that's what at one time we discussed, but it's going to have to be something marked for us to be able to write tickets there.
But yeah, I was looking last weekend. Yeah, pretty weekend. It's, if we don't, we got to get it now at the beginning of the season, just like we talked about before. We have to build our communication plan, and we really need that going out in April or May, or we're going to have a problem. Yeah, exactly right.
Okay, David's made a request. Any issues with that request?
No, I'm agree.
Okay.
So I'll
consensus.
Make sure we stay in the guidelines.
Okay. Please, please look into it, David.
Yep.
Discussion and consideration of new business. Beach encroachment. Did you want to discuss that from a P&Z perspective, Mr. Whitley?
P&Z is going to take up the issue. So we haven't had a conversation with them yet. They know that it's coming because they're going to address that along with the overlay. So they have both topics. Y'all wanted them to vet it.
I think this was on so we could talk about a moratorium until we get there, right?
That's right.
So the issue is the town, and I'm sure y'all read the town attorney's perspective. Andy, please tell me if I get it wrong, but and I appreciate the history, Nancy, wherever you are, whoever caught it, right? So it was nice reading to go back through. So for the audience, the previous councils and this council have approved 7 pools that go into the beach renourishment easement area. So the town, for us to do our beach renourishment in the mid-90s, went out to every property owner on the beachfront and gained an easement, which basically allowed the town, which was then deeded to the Corps of Engineers, an easement. Basically, they gave up their rights to their property forward of the beach so that we could put sand there, right? It was good for them. They got sand in front of their houses. But what that did is it made the town and the Corps of Engineers responsible for property in that area. Since that time, there have been, and Nancy's got all the details up here, but the way the building line has changed, and councils previous to this one and this one have approved pools built in that encroaching into that easement, right? Which is allowed by, we contacted the Corps, so we're not in any trouble, but the issue is, as pointed out by the attorney, if we ever have a problem where a pool is there, the easement that the agreement we've signed with property owners said that they would remove that pool at their own cost so that the beach renourishment could continue, right? So they won't get in the way of the project, basically stopping us from getting sand in front of everyone's property because someone's got something sticking out there. This would only really happen after a big storm, but it is a concern because after a big storm, if the person walks away, as the attorney has pointed out to council, the town is still responsible to remove that pool, and so we would use all your money to get that pool out of the way so the project would go, and then the town would go after the individual property owner to try to recover that funding. And that could take a pretty long time, especially if their property's damaged to the point that they're not going to relive there. They're going to say, well, whatever, and then the town's fighting to get your money back, our money back, while all this is happening. At the same time, we're spending money to remove a pool so that we could do beach renourishment. So it's kind of a complicated issue. The council decided we should take up, should we stop that while we figure out if this is a good or bad thing long term, right? And so that's the discussion before the council now is, should we, I guess we have to advertise before we can actually have a moratorium, although we're granting easements, so I don't know that we do.
if you decide that you will not grant any more of these easements, then there is nothing to do because it's already established in our ordinances.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's where the discussion for council is. Do we want to publicly say we're going to stop this, or we can wait till the next person comes and then tell them, and they've already spent a bunch of money and disappointed, you know? And then if we say we're going to stop it, are we going to look at it, or we're just saying the ordinance stands and we're just not going to do this anymore? That's sort of the framing of the discussion.
I think we need to be very specific as soon as we can, so people who have a desire for a pool do one of two things. They buy a lot that is big enough to hold a pool and their home, or they decide to have a smaller home so they can have a pool and parking.
Right.
If we don't tell them before that, there could be people who will move forward and take an action and then run into this. So I think if we are on that path, we need to tell people as early as possible that we are not going to consider this for some period of time into the future, or maybe ever again.
I agree.
There's one person that we approved recently. Mm-hmm.
That stands.
That hasn't started the work yet.
But it's approved.
Okay.
And we've signed the document.
I agree
with Craig. I mean, yeah, if you want a pool and a house, you need to buy a lot big enough for a pool and a house. But, you know, we already have it in our code. I'm fine with it. Not allowing them anymore.
You have an opinion?
I agree.
So do we need a motion or a consensus, Andy, since we're just going to not grant future easements? How do we have to do that?
Well, the best thing to do is just, make an announcement that y'all are in, agree that there will be no more of these issued, and we will comply with the ordinances that exist today.
Okay.
Is that a letter from you to the town?
Well, that's what I will do, is I will write a letter saying it is the will of the council to stand behind the ordinances we've already had. And to the future, we will not be looking at granting these particular types.
The ones that encroach.
Right, the ones that encroach.
Have a piece of property that accommodates
yes.
both.
That's right. Okay. So if you're on the beach, you have to handle your lot the same way that the people who aren't on the beach have to handle their lot. You have to buy a bigger lot. And that does cost more money. And it's not an intent to be mean-spirited, and it's not an intent to be tell people what to do with their property. Because most of the folks up here agree that if you have your property, you should have, to a large extent, the will to do what you wish with your property if you are not hurting your neighbor. In this case, in a case of default, we all in this room would have to sit back and start paying to remove those pools. And that is an error we need to correct. I will write the letter. Nancy, it'll be probably about 10 days or so. I'm out of town the next week. And then Andy, I'll look for your help when I'm finished with it, and I'll send it to the council, of course, for your opinions.
All right.
Okay? So I'll take that item. Discussion of temporary moratorium on any development approvals which could conflict with the potential overlay district, should say, in the business area of downtown Curie Beach.
Wednesday night, P&Z is going to have a meeting here at 6 p.m. They are going to be looking at crafting an overlay district for the central business district of downtown Curie Beach, the four-block area. It may stretch out a little bit farther. What they're going to do is try to, what's the best way to put it?
Going to try to maintain the village atmosphere of our town.
There we go. In conversations I've had with people, they say we enjoy walking to the pier, we enjoy walking to Jack Mackle's. Don't want something to be torn down and put up a mega mansion, 21 townhome, something like that, where Admiral's Quarter is located. So this is going to take, I'm figuring 4 to 6 months to go through. There'll be public hearings on it. We're bringing in the business owners of the area down there so we can get their feedback on the topic. And so I'd definitely encourage people to come out if you have an opinion on it.
This is an important subject, people. If you think about what the downtown, should look like in the next 10 or 15 years as people retire out, as people look at the height of the structures, what they can build there, what they can't build there, as we consider parking in the area, as we consider people who can build houses in the area that are incredibly large to replace those hotels, as opposed to having motels to support a fisherman population.
And the RMT tax for beach renourishment.
Yes. So there are a lot of questions, and I would just ask you to keep your eye on it, keep your thought on it. What do you want it to look like in 15 years?
Instead of
look the same?
Yeah. Do we need to set a public hearing for April then? For Jim's vote?
I guess what we'll wait for is till we see what planning and zoning kind of comes up with, and then we'll debate it. And after we debate it, I guess we'd probably go to a public hearing. Or are you talking about a public hearing for ideas?
No, I'm talking about in Jim's notes back and forth to me and Alan's. His point was, you for this one, you cannot set a moratorium without a public hearing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And so if. The thought is P&Z may recommend one at their meeting next week.
It's Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. The earliest we could do that would be at our April meeting.
Yeah.
And we have to,
and
the town clerk has to announce, how long do you have to advertise a public hearing?
2 weeks.
If it's 60 days or under for your moratorium, 60 days or under, it's 7 days. If it's 61 days or more, I have to do 2 weeks back to back, so I need at least until your next
afternoon. So, I mean, we could do it one of two ways. We could set the public hearing, or we could say, could direct the town clerk to announce a public hearing if P&Z recommends it. I think that's legal. Is that not legal? She's not liking that. Guess not. That's why you
keep
check,
us
right?
Straight, Nancy.
That's why when you're thinking, you think out loud so Nancy can shake her head. So I think, I mean, we could always cancel it, or we could still get the public hearing and then not act, but I think you'd want to set it for the April meeting.
When the meeting is the 20th?
Wednesday.
Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, 2 days.
Well, whether or not P&Z recommends the moratorium, if they're going to recommend an overlay district, and we think there should be a moratorium, we have to have a public hearing on the idea of the moratorium.
Well, the point of the moratorium is to make sure that nothing happens while we're trying to figure out what
That's
to
right.
do.
That's why
so
you need it sooner than later.
Actually,
yes.
We could probably, we need to know how much time planning and zoning needs. I think they actually recommended a 6-month moratorium.
They're figuring 4 to 6 months. Just to make sure they cover all the bases.
So I'm not saying I'm in favor or not. I'm just saying if we're going to talk about one, we have to announce it, right?
Yeah, so I guess we can.
That's my issue.
We can announce to talk about it, Nancy.
Would that be April or May? Did I hear 60 days?
I thought she said
it's under 60 days.
She's under.
She was talking about how long the moratorium is, determines how long she's got to advertise.
Right, plus I don't think that they have to find the area that they want the moratorium to be in. Asked about B1, and I think that looking at a larger area, that would need to be part of the
right.
Yes. Yep. So, Nancy, if you would look into how soon we can, or how soon we have to advertise that, and then, well,
again, if it's under 60 days, I need 7 days notice to advertise it. If it's more than 61 days, I have to do back to back twice. First time not less than 25 days,
second time not more than 10 days before. So it gets into a zoning
type advertisement. But I have to be able to say exactly the area where they want the moratorium
for
how long.
Okay. It
has to be very specific.
So
we'll determine that
Wednesday night. Okay. Thank you, Nancy. Thanks for keeping us straight on that. So we will
So then it sounds like we'll be talking about the April meeting and then doing it in May. Okay, I'm fine with that.
Okay, all right.
So we'll be back on the agenda then?
Yep.
Okay.
Mayor updates. I have no further updates for this evening. Commissioner items? Alan?
No, I have none.
None?
Well, Mr. Winnett was here. I was going to let him know he's getting sand in front of his house, but he left. So.
Mr. Whitley? No. None?
Mr. Hagler? No, just a closed session, sir.
Okay.
I'll just make one comment. Publicly acknowledge all the hard work Mr. Oliver has done on us being in this room for tonight. Totally yeoman's work from way, way back when they signed the first contract to get us here. And while I've got floor, the official dedication is going to be March the 13th.
May.
Excuse me.
May the 11th. May the 11th.
May the
11th. May
the 11th.
Wow.
We already had his mother missed it.
He's just testing us.
May the 11th. The theme being, see if I can get this right, a block party for the residents and friends and neighbors and the community that you live in. We're going to start off in here, mention the good townsfolk that made this happen, that this complex of fire, police, town hall, staff rooms, and all that is going to be dedicated to the citizens of Curie Beach, not to these five guys and not to the staff and everybody that had a personal hand in it, certainly. But the town made this happen. And we're going to dedicate this complex to the members of the town and have a block party to celebrate an official opening, as they corrected me, May 11th. So just put that on your calendar and spread the word. There will be advertisements and that type of thing. That's all.
Okay, thank you, John. All right, may I have a motion for a closed session?
Yes, I make a motion to go into closed session for the purpose of council.
One more comment.
Mr. Mayor.
Oh,
sorry.
Yes, Wick.
I'd like
sorry.
To bring up one item, please. Have an email from Commissioner Hagler saying that he was going to give a synopsis of what is going on with the Sandman lots on Sandman Avenue. And I'd also like to bring up in that email a comment, which I'm going to have to find again now, which now I can't find it. My phone shut off. It was in relationship to, paraphrase, that the Curie Dunes HOA does not have a proposal, so you're leaning toward the Beachwalk HOA proposal.
That.
Okay. And the reason that the Curie Dunes HOA does not have a proposal is because we were going down a track. Two meetings ago, we were heading in a direction, and then at the last meeting, Beachwalk swerved and came with a totally different proposal that had not been discussed whatsoever. So as far as Curie Dunes having any kind of proposal, we didn't, because we were moving forward on a particular track and that got sidelined. Would you give a synopsis of what's going on with that?
Yeah, so you read the email as well. So for the rest of the audience, the town owns a parcel of land on Sandman Drive that is undeveloped. It was previously a retention pond that the town's owned since, well, according to how you look at it, the town's owned it for a long time. But the previous council, starting with the council of Dean Lambeth when I got on, had decided that the town would never build a public building on that property. And so I was requested by that council, and Dean Lambeth started with me down the path of figuring out what the town could do with that property. And so we reached out initially to the two homeowners associations that are adjacent to those properties, Beachwalk and Curie Dunes Homeowners Associations, and started working down the path of what were the issues around the town selling that property potentially and converting it to private property, which would allow the town to get money for that property as well as have more residents, which would then pay taxes and water bills and trash bills and all the things that all of us do, which helps all of us, right? It's been a long journey. So first it was Dean Lamath and me representing the council. Then it was, who was with me after that? Was it Emily?
It was Emily's thing, but I think you were pretty much on that.
Yeah, Emily and me after that, and then the current mayor, Craig, and I continued it on. And it's been a pretty winding path. So there are multiple issues that both homeowners associations feel are important to them around that property. The issues for the town, and what my directive was, is just find out what the town can do, right? And my goal has always been that we should not really involve lawyers. We should be able to work stuff out, because it basically wastes your money to pay lawyers when lawyers get involved. Sorry, Andy. And so when it first started, it was a pretty Gordian knot, because it felt like everyone had a different view, and some of the views were pretty much in conflict. One of the issues was initially both homeowners associations' position were that you can't sell the lots unless it's in our homeowners association. Well, it can't be in both homeowners associations, so that was one issue. And then there was the issue of, well, the stormwater from Curie Dunes goes through those lots and then into the Beachwalk stormwater system, which is true. About 30% or so, that we haven't had an engineering look at it, but some amount of the stormwater that passes through the Beachwalk ponds go through those lots underground. There's 36-inch pipes into those ponds. And then there's the issue of, it was a stormwater pond for a while, so you filled in a stormwater pond, what can you do with the stormwater pond, right? Those are all the issues. We've made some progress unwinding all that, but the issue is still not clear. At the same time, Beachwalk has three lots, or a piece of property that could be three lots, that is stranded. Basically, there's no current access to that property. It's blocked in by those lots and then the lots around them. Beachwalk has requested an easement to that property, so that property is viable to develop. That easement would have to come through the town's property to make that. So that's the background. In the meeting that you're addressing, only one representative from Curie Dunes showed up. Beachwalk had brought a proposal, which we encouraged her to take back to Curie Dunes to evaluate the proposal. And the email that was received by the town, initially from the Curie Dunes president, and then after your meeting from the Curie Dunes board, a separate meeting, was, this is unacceptable. No other proposals than that. That's where it was. And so I'll be glad to reread it with you, but basically the Curie Dunes answer was, that's not acceptable, and these are all the reasons why. There wasn't, here's where we should go next, right?
Well, the reason it was unacceptable is because, as I stated, we have discussions with Beachwalk as to how they were going to proceed, and not necessarily agreement, but consensus possibly, that we were going to move in a certain direction. At that next meeting, unfortunately, several people were out of town, and so we only had one representative there. If we had known that there would have been one, we would have canceled the meeting. If we could have,
that would have been fine, right?
Yeah, as it turns out, when that representative walked in, they were blindsided with this proposal that came out of left field, had not been discussed whatsoever.
It hadn't been discussed with the town either. right? So, I mean, that was the first time the town
had seen. The response that you received from our president was, this is unacceptable. We haven't been able to get together to talk to give any kind of a counter proposal. And that's, you know, where we stand at this point. Not that we do not have a proposal, but we have not been able to meet, you know, to give any kind of proposal, and therefore, that's my reasoning for bringing this up.
Well, I appreciate that, because if the email would have said we would like to meet again, versus what it did say, that would be very different.
No, the plan is to meet again. I think the 30th is a possible, our president is not.
I'll be glad to go back and reread the two emails from Mr. Davenport, but they don't say that in there, I don't think, unless I missed them.
What I would add to this, Rick, and I know you haven't been involved in it from the beginning, but this has been a four-year journey. So just the last 30 days, I mean, we've had a lot of time to come up with ideas and proposals other than no. So another thing that I would tell you is that I am looking forward to some type of feedback from your HOA, and I'm looking forward to it because though I care very much about your HOA and I care very much about Beachwalk HOA, I care about the other 2,100 people in this town who own that property, and we're going to get this resolved.
Certainly, and we have no problems with it being developed. The problem that we have is that Beachwalk all of a sudden has said, we want this entire area in our HOA, period, end of discussion.
Well, and again, like I said, just like I said in my email, I was going to come back to council and tell them here's where we are. And that's what I'm going to do when we go into the closed session. That's what it's about, you know, consulting with our attorney. Okay. If you closely read the Curie Dean response, it basically says, okay, well, we might have to do legal action. And so the first thing for the council is, okay, I got to go get guidance, right? Because now we're outside of talking about it. If someone says legal action, I don't have the authority from council to do anything else, so I'm coming back to council and talking about it.
Okay.
And that's not to say that if you guys send a note out to both sides and say we should get back together and talk, I think the mayor and I are both interested in that. I would assume the rest of council would direct us to do that. But that's not how I read the email, and that's why I was looking for guidance from the council.
Okay.
I mean, that's where I'm at, right?
Right. We'll try to.
If it would have been different, I wouldn't have been seeking counsel. I would have proposed another meeting, but that's not how I read it. Maybe I'll be glad to reread it again tonight, but I think I'll take it the same way.
Well, I think, Mr. Davenport was pretty blunt.
Fair enough. And if you're going to be blunt, I'm good with that. Yeah. And I'm good with that. And so I'm going to get counsel to give me more direction.
Off guard, totally.
I understand, right? So,
so
we were too.
I think one of the last emails was that we're going to try to meet on the 23rd. You were going to be out of town, I believe. So the 30th was a possibility. And I think somebody else was going
to. Michael's out of town. He's out of town. It's like the middle of next month.
Into April. We have not shut off discussion.
I didn't say you had. I was just saying I got to seek guidance from council so I understand what to do.
We're just reacting to the last letter.
Sure. Okay.
As we should.
Okay.
So, thank you, Rick.
All right.
Okay, we had a proposal for closed session or a motion for closed session.
Second. I thought you already did that.
Yeah, we got a vote on. We didn't vote on the stuff.
We didn't vote on yet.
Okay.
So,
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We will go into closed session, so you can stay if you like.
Make a motion to come back into session.
I will second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so discussion with the attorney. Guidance was given to continue discussions with the two homeowners association regarding the Sandman property. And so I will work with the mayor to schedule that as soon as possible.
Much to do, Chair.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Nice.
So,
Hey, it's a thin time.